We return to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We return to the second giving of the Ten Commandments here. Excuse me. And we are going to complete our review of the Ten Commandments. And I thank you for your patience with the way I've been handling it, reading, reviewing the larger catechism for the details. Though in summary, the way we're handling it, we're going to do that again. If you want to have your larger catechism ready, we're going to turn to questions 146 through 148. I do not plan to continue to use the larger catechism after we complete the Ten Commandments this week, but I would remind you that the catechism goes on to talk a lot about, does anyone perfectly live these commandments? The answer is no. What is the problem? Well, we're judged for that. Is there any way to be rescued from this? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it goes on to talk a lot about the law, we're not going to continue with the catechism, but I remind you that is there if you want to review it. But today we do use it as we complete the Ten Commandments, and we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy 5, verse 21. Because we just read the Ten Commandments in Exodus, I'll just read the Tenth Commandment here. Deuteronomy 5, verse 21. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Let me read that one more time. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. So we're on the 10th commandment today. Sometimes the Ten Commandments are referred to as the Decalogue, meaning the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words. And again, question and answer 146 to 148 of the Westminster Larger Catechism focuses on this commandment. It focuses on it related to Exodus 20, verse 17, the first giving of this commandment. And so question 146 of the Larger Commandment asks, what is the Ten Commandment? And then it quotes Exodus 20, verse 17. We're going to be looking at it here with Deuteronomy today. We're going to consider there are a few variations in it, three things. I'm only commenting on two that are significant enough to benefit from. But I want you to see, as we've alluded already or talked about it, that the Tenth Commandment is really a controlling factor for all the other commandments. You might say, if I want to try to live out all the Ten Commandments well, by God's grace, by his power for his glory, the Tenth Commandment really is at the heart of the matter of how to do that. God's people must control how they care about what is their neighbor's and also what is not theirs. I give that to you as the main idea of the commandment. God's people must control how they care about what is their neighbor's and what is also not theirs. So I want you to recognize again that the second table of the law, as we refer to it, that is the second part of the law of the Ten Commandments that focuses on loving our neighbor as ourself, it opens and closes with the heart. The fifth commandment says what? Honor others. And we looked at with the larger catechism, not just superiors, but inferiors and equals. Show honor. That's a heart issue. It really starts with the heart. Respecting others that we would be respected. Respecting others to respect God. And then it closes today with the 10th commandment. Do not covet what belongs to others. Again, that is a heart issue. I find myself doing this. Don't we do this a lot, right? I love you. So maybe I guess I'll do that since I tend to be here at the moment. The 10 commandments really are a heart issue. Remember, love. And the 10th commandment really is the way to be concerned to live them all out, our attitude that will control our actions, love. It starts with the heart. P.C. Craigie says that the 10th commandment is concerned primarily with motivation rather than action, you could say. Clearly, he says, the 10th commandment clearly expresses desire or longing. When it talks about don't desire or don't covet, and in our text today, there's two words that are synonyms that are used. It has the idea of a very strong desire. Oh, I gotta have that. I want to have that. Here's something I want to say to us today, beloved, as we continue. What freedom. What a blessing. Because don't we struggle with that like crazy? And isn't that why we violate all the other commandments? Oh, I'm jealous of others. I got to have what they have. I'm not content with what I have. But the freedom is we're commanded not to do that, which means we can. Oh, in ourselves, we can't really that much. But in Christ, we can do all things who strengthens us. He has fulfilled this law for us. He has paid the penalty for it. And he calls on us to do better, to love more, so we can be less covetous. We can be less controlled by cravings and desires that consume us and direct us when we should be directing them. Beloved, it's not just what you do. The 10th commandment shows us it's what you think. And it's how you feel. And that's primarily the issue. And how you think and feel is also sin, which is why we pray, Lord, forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we often pray and talk about we've sinned against you with our hearts. We have not loved you with a whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we've done, by what we've left undone. But the thoughts, the feelings, we got to control them. Well, we're often victim to our feelings and thoughts. We think we can't control them. Yes, you can. Which is why Jesus says in Matthew 6 and Paul says in Philippians 4, change how you think. But beloved, that's empowering. That's life-changing. What moves you? What motivates you? Redirect it. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not desire. Redirect it. Or as I give you the message this morning, direct your desires. Thou shalt not covet what is your neighbor's. Direct your desires. Control your cravings for what others have. That's the first thing we consider. Control your cravings for what others have. Now, it's amazing to observe from children, you know, sometimes we tend to speak of our children like little angels or innocent, but we know the truth is of the scriptures from Psalm 51, we're conceived in sin, that is, we're born sinful, sinful hearts corrupt, and we're born guilty. And of course, as we're younger, maybe that's not as developed as it will, but left unchecked and without the guidance of the scripture and the grace of Christ and the Holy Spirit, it just gets worse. But we see that, for instance, when often children very early on in their life crave having what another kid has. And it's so fascinating to watch a toddler. Their arms are full of stuff, and they immediately drop it all to get the one thing their brother or sister has, right? Or their friends in daycare. They just have to have what the other person has. And that comes naturally to them. It's interesting, we've noticed how our youngest child, especially now that he can walk, it's so funny how quick, as soon as our toddler comes out with something he likes to play with, it's like a Hulk, whoom, grabs that thing immediately and is not going to let go and cries and is angry if we try to make him. That's just the natural instinct of coveting what someone else has. We start like that from the womb. And if we're not taught to change, we just keep living that out, acting like children as adults. In fact, isn't that really what we do the same as adults? Don't we do the same thing? We just got to have what other people want. John D. Currid points out that we are not to covet his field is one of the things that is new, that is additional in this commandment. In Exodus 20, there's nothing said about coveting a neighbor's field. But this is an addition, and why is it added? Because they're about to go into the promised land. They're about to take the promised land, and they are all going to be giving their plots. The tribes are all going to be given their specific area of ownership. And God is reminding them, as you get your own fields, as you get your own property, you need to recognize that you need to be content with it and don't covet what your people have that I didn't give to you, but I gave to them. You're going to have fields. Your neighbors are going to have fields. You let them have your fields and you have yours. Of course, God will give them each their own part of it, and it is to be respected and preserved by one another. Again, this gets back to when we talked about thou shalt not steal. It gets back to the issue of private property. We see that truth in Scripture. John D. Currid defines the Hebrew word for covet as this. So what is it not to covet? Well, here's what coveting is. An inordinate, ungoverned, selfish desire for something. That's what coveting is. An inordinate, ungoverned, selfish desire for something. Now, this doesn't mean you can't desire things, but you can't desire what someone else's have. You need to be happy for them and don't covet it. Don't be jealous and want it and wish you had it and that they didn't. So for this now, we turn first to the larger catechism, 148, what sins are forbidden. If you have it to follow, Westminster Larger Catechism number 148. What are the sins forbidden in the 10th commandment? The sins forbidden in the 10th commandment are discontentment with our own estate, envying and grieving at the good of our neighbor, together with all inordinate motions and affections to anything that is his. That's what's forbidden. And I review with you the Westminster Larger Catechism series when we preached through this on the Ten Commandments on question 148, sins forbidden. Now, in this case, it was just one sermon last week with Thou Shalt Not Bear False Witness. It was much longer. In Esther 5:13, I review with you, in Esther 5:13, Haman's stubborn discontent with one man who wouldn't honor him led to his terrible death. Don't pursue your neighbor's stuff. Don't desire your neighbor's stuff. Be thankful for what you have while you can. And the message for you was, discontent will destroy you. And I want to point out that that can often be an issue of wanting a reputation someone else has, wanting a position or a title or credit for something. Discontent will destroy you. P.C. Craigie says that the 10th commandment summarizes commandments 6 through 9, and I would say really all of them, all 10 of them. And he says the normal motivation involved, which would lead to the transgression, would be self-interest. The normal motivation that would lead us to breaking all of the other commandments is self-interest. I need it for me. I want it for me. Instead of, I'm happy for you and I praise God. The leading motivation is self-interest. He points out Matthew 5:21-48, Jesus teaches not only the act, but the thought, which is itself sinful and leads to the act. Your attitude matters to God. It's not just the action, it's the attitude. And in fact, the attitude is primary. It's where it starts, in the heart. Wrongly desiring, jealously coveting what someone else has. It starts there. And then the bad things, the bad actions come out of it, but it already starts here. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we are Christ, we're going to crucify the lusts. This, you know, 1 John talks about the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, we got to crucify that, this lusting, desiring after things that don't belong to us. Ephesians 5:3-5 say, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. For this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do you see that? Covetousness should not even be named among you. And if you are known as a regular, habitual person of coveting, you're not going to be in heaven. But I think we almost excuse it as an acceptable sin. I think our nation is, more than we want to admit, is pretty much based on more than the pursuit of happiness. For this ye know, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians. Thomas Watson writes this, "You cannot be discontent without quarreling with God." Well, that's the whole testimony of the book of Numbers, right? Quoted in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 3 and 4 as our warning. You can't be content and quarrel with God and murmur and complain at him at the same time. Colossians 3, verse 5, "Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Covetousness is idolatry. When God is telling us not to covet, he's telling us not to commit idolatry. Beloved, covetousness is idolatry. What is the cure of such idolatry? Contentment. Contentment. Namely, being content with the Son of God as your Savior. Commit to being content with what you have. Commit to being content with what you have. Control your cravings for what others have and commit to being content with what you have. Cain's covetousness killed his brother. Even though God warned him just to be content, he couldn't be. He coveted Abel, and so he ultimately killed him. Ham could not be content with all the honor he had, so he killed himself trying to hang Mordecai. On the other hand, as Thomas Watson puts it, a contented Christian is like Noah in the ark. Although he was tossed by the waves, Noah could sit and sing in the ark. We look now at the duties required, Westminster Larger Catechism number 147. The duties required in the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's things. What are the duties required? Question 147, Larger Catechism. What are the duties required in the 10th commandment? The duties required in the 10th commandment are such a full contentment with our own condition, and such a charitable frame of the whole soul toward our neighbor, as that all our inward motions and affections touching him tend unto and further all that good which is his. Not only contentment with ourselves, happiness for our neighbor, but even our going out of our way to bless our neighbor and improve what they have, to help them increase what they have. You know, it's interesting, Currid and McConville point out there's another difference here besides that don't covet your neighbor's field is something new in the second giving because they're about to go into the promised land. But another interesting slight change is the order of some words here. First, it says, Deuteronomy 7:21, don't desire thy neighbor's wife, neither covet thy neighbor's house. In Exodus, it's first don't desire, don't covet your neighbor's house. And then it's don't desire your neighbor's wife. But here in Deuteronomy, it starts with don't desire your neighbor's wife. And even the Hebrew word for desire or covet is a different word than the next time you have it in the commandment. They're synonyms, practically the same thing, but it seemed to be emphasizing don't desire your neighbor's wife. Now, what they point out by that is this seems to reflect what we notice in Deuteronomy, a great concern for the rights of women and the rights of women to be respected. You're going to see that in Deuteronomy a lot, a careful concern with God's case laws to protect and respect women. And so as they're going into the new land, they need to be remembered to be faithful to their wives and faithful to their homemakers, and particularly in this new land, women will be respected. That needs to be the same in the church, of course, today. We all must focus on loving what is ours. So, for instance, thinking about women needing to be respected and not coveting another man's wife, the Proverbs direct a man to keep being content with his wife's body. It actually gets more specific than that. Be content with your wife's breasts, the wife of your youth. Why? So you don't start coveting another man's woman. Respect your wife and respect another man's wife. Don't covet. That is, focus on loving what is yours. We neglect our wives, we neglect our children, we neglect what we have in our lives and our churches because we don't love and appreciate what is already ours. So be content with what you have, what God has given you. Thomas Watson says this, contentment makes a good interpretation of all of God's dealings. Contentment says, whatever my problem is, I'm going to trust this as you gave it to me, Lord, and you're doing something good for me, you work all things for good, and I'm going to choose to be content and work with this rather than abandon it. I'm going to seek to make good out of it, just as Joseph always did, and then God trusted him to be in charge of all of Egypt and essentially the known world in that area. The Westminster Larger Catechism series on question 147, duties required by the 10th commandment, I review with you, and again, it was just one sermon because it was a short answer. Hebrews 13, verse 5, and I encourage you to commit this verse to memory if you haven't yet. Here was the message. Hebrews 13, verse 5 teaches us to love your neighbor with your attitude. Love your neighbor with your actions. Love your life with Jesus. Be content with Christ. Be content with Christ was the message. The opposite was discontent will destroy you. So be content with Christ who will build you up in life. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says this, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, you see right there in the verse, don't be covetousness. How do I do that? Instead, be content with what you have. What do you have most importantly? You have Jesus, who strengthens you to do all things, including be content, which Paul says, I've learned to be content, and I can do it because Christ strengthens me to do it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Gabriel, be still. Having food and raiment, have food and clothing. Do you have food today? Do you have clothes on your backs? Well, then what's your problem if you can't stop complaining, right? What's your problem if you can't be praising God? Because a lot of people don't. In fact, as we often say, we got too much food, which is why we're always just trying to start a new resolution in January. We have too much food, and therefore that's why our clothes are always too tight. And we have too many clothes, which is why we're always trying to give them to Goodwill. And yet we're not content. We were watching a video the other day, and they were showing us some children raised in Africa. And Fernando was pointing out how, you know, it was a very poor community. And look how content they were. So content. Do you have clothes? Do you have food from God? Be content. Be content. Remembering that Jesus says, he was faithful with little, I'll give much. If you can't be content with little things, you're never going to be content with big things. You'll always be complaining. You'll always be coveting. You'll always be destroying your life and the lives of others. John Currid also says this, the 10th commandment gets to the very heart of the matter, and the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. Take your heart to Jesus. As Currid also says, we're all guilty of all the law, including how we think and feel, which leads us to do what we do. He says the law cannot take care of our sin and fear. It can highlight them, but it cannot cure them. Therefore, something else is needed. That is, someone else is needed. Again, this should convict us. We're all covetous. We're all idolaters. This should convict us. God, have mercy on me. And turn us to Jesus. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Galatians 3:24, Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But as you turn to Christ, Hebrews 13:5, be content with Christ. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Without Christ, you have nothing. With Christ, you have everything. Psalm 73, right? Be content with Christ. Be grateful for Christ, who will never leave you nor forsake you. I suspect that the reason you and I are often so discontented is we don't realize the severity of our sins and what God should give us and what God has given us in Christ. How couldn't we be content to be saved from hell and to be given grace and forgiveness and everlasting life? You will never lack anything, so you have no need to covet what is had by anyone, because you have Christ. And whatever else you're trying to get from others will never give you contentment, only Christ. Be content, and you will not worry about your neighbor other than to love him. Be content, and you will not want to dishonor your neighbor. Be content, and you will not want to kill your neighbor. Be content, you will not want to commit adultery against your neighbor. Be content, and you will not want to steal from your neighbor. Be content, and you will not want to lie to your neighbor. Be content, you will not want to lie about your neighbor. That all comes from discontentment, covetousness. Be content, and you will not be guilty of idolatry against God, and thus you will have only him as your God. You won't want to make idols or images of things and worship them instead of God, and you won't take God's name in vain, and you won't dishonor his holy day. I mean, why are people always breaking the fourth commandment? Why does the fourth commandment essentially not exist in most people's versions of the Ten Commandments, effectively speaking, practically speaking? Because I got to work. Because I got a lot to make a lot of money. God wants me to be happy. You know how many times I've heard people say that when they don't want to honor the Sabbath? And guess what? They're always striving and they never reach it. They're never content. And God doesn't bless it. We can't rob God of his holy day and think he's going to bless us the rest of the week with any kind of contentment with what we have, let alone what we might get. In fact, the curse may be he gives us what we keep asking for. Careful what you ask for, you'll get less of God in it. But if we are content and not covetousness, then we will be happy not to feel like we have to have more things, therefore we can violate his holy day to justify it because we have to have more things and we have to work more to get those things. Things that just break down and collect dust and rust and divide us from one another, distract us from one another, and distract us from God. When you don't covet, when you don't desire things that are not yours, you won't complain against God. You will instead serve him and worship him, submitting to his providence with an attitude of gratitude. And remember, besides being holy, what is the other thing that God says in the New Testament is his will for the church? Thankfulness. You're never thankful when you're discontent. Therefore, you commit idolatry because you don't praise God who's given you everything. Have an attitude of gratitude, and that will kill the old man of covetousness in the heart. Remember to love God with everything in you and your neighbor as yourself. This means not focusing on yourself. Again, as Craigie mentions in these commandments, the main motivation that's involved that causes you to break all the other commandments is self-interest. Self-interest or selfishness may be a dangerous thing when it assumes a dominant role in a man's life. That's what he says. In terms of self-interest, work on controlling yourself from coveting with contentment. Don't be directed by your thoughts. Don't be directed by your feelings. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Direct your desires. Don't be directed by them. Direct your desires. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not desire what others have. Direct your desires, direct them to Jesus, and be content with him. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Direct your desires. Don't be controlled by covetousness. Learn how to be content through Christ, who can strengthen you to do it in all things. Direct your desires and change your life for the better and change the world. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we do confess that we are idol factories in our hearts, that we covet, and we are so often discontent shown by how much we complain and how quickly we complain. Have mercy. Teach us not to murmur against the Messiah. Teach us to be content with Christ. Help us to direct our desires to you in devotion and dedication, and not be so selfish, having to always want and take from what others have, and never being able to be having an attitude of gratitude in our hearts. Oh Lord, purify our hearts. Renew in us a right spirit. Cleanse us, O Lord, and let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and all your people said, Amen.